Future CEOs on cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Future CEOs this Thursday afternoon. That was a fascinating conversation that we just had about how to craft a pitch that will get you noticed and potentially get you funded as well. I expected it to go a little differently, but I'm pleasantly surprised at the outcomes that we did achieve. I mean, we perhaps, certainly I do anyway, try and find a formula for many things, and it seems like there's a formula, but it's not as hard and fast as some of us make it out to be. That was the conversation in the previous half hour. We caught up with the CEO of a luxury brands communications agency called Vivid Luxury a little earlier today. She unfortunately can't be in studio because she's about to go and do a launch just down the road from us here. But we chatted about some of her experiences as she has built a company that deals with the likes of Gucci, Burberry, Bentley, Jimmy Choo, and more. This is Anina Malhaber-Lund. So I'm going to play the recording that we had. It's a fantastic, fantastic conversation. I hope you enjoy it as much as I did. Here it is. We're speaking to someone that has been dealing with luxury brands and very large international brands for 20 years. Is that right? 20 years, Anina, is that right?
Yeah, Vivid Luxury I've had for almost 9 years.
Okay.
So I'd say for the last 15 years I've been dealing with luxury brands.
Luxury brands. That's a long time. And there's some really, really nice brands attached to your name. Just go ahead, drop some names, brag a little.
We've been fortunate enough to launch quite a few international luxury brands into the country. Brands like Burberry, Jimmy Choo. We work with brands like Gucci, Bentley, Veuve Clicquot, Belvedere Vodka, Glenmorangie Whiskey. So all the finer things in life. Mm. And, you know, we have such an amazing country that's really a quite powerful as emerging luxury market at the moment. So that's really our focus, to open that up to the world and help these brands enter our continent.
Now, we'll talk about that in a moment. Let's focus on you. This is Future CEOs. These guys are listening and they're saying, how the heck do I get to open my own business and perhaps rub shoulders with some of the brands that you do? Vivid Luxury, where did that come from? Please just introduce yourself and then a little bit of your journey.
You know, I started in mass retail. I've been in sort of working in consumer and mass and luxury retail brands for 20 years. So about 15, 16 years ago, I started working for a company called Szymanski, where I gained knowledge and expertise in the field of luxury brands as we were looking to launch that brand into the market. And I just fell in love with luxury brands and I really wanted to specialize in that. So about 10 years ago, I decided to start my agency, Vivid Luxury. I think you've got to be a little bit crazy and very determined to start something like this. I did see a niche and a gap in the market, which of course is necessary. If you don't see a gap in the market for whatever you're bringing, it's going to be hard. It's hard nevertheless, but
even more so.
Even more so. Mm. So really today, we specialize in luxury brands and communication services around that. So building these brands in South Africa and on the African continent, that's our focus. That's what we specialize in. It's our passion. Across all the various consumer categories, from fashion to jewelry to fast cars, yachts, jets, hotels.
This is music to some of our future CEOs listeners, their ears, certainly to mine. I mean, I'd love to be able to, and we had one of the brands that you represent here in studio with us, Bentley, talking about collaboration.
I remember.
In many ways, you represent a world which is it seems quite far away, but is it that far away? I mean, it's an interesting question, but just tell us your experience of being around those kinds of brands and individuals, please.
You know, luxury brands, to a large extent, it's all about perception. It's about creating that desire for brands where you are willing to pay more than what the commodity is necessarily worth.
Okay.
And it's all about the quality and the history and the heritage and the story behind the brand. But, you know, it's hard work. These brands are extremely demanding, as you can imagine. Mm. They are in the position of where they are amongst the top 10 in their category for a reason. So they are extremely demanding. So it looks like a very glamorous world, but it's extremely hard work. And I think a lot of youngsters are sort of romanced by the idea of that, you know, the world of celebrity and brands and luxury, and that it's all, you know, fun and glamour. But it's actually really, really hard work. But I must say, if you enjoy that world, it's a wonderful platform to work in. So we do have a lot of fun as well.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Let's just jump back very quickly. You introduced a word, and let's see if this word fits to you. You said you have to be a little crazy to start a business.
Yeah, I think
go back to the beginning of Vivid Luxury. You were a little bit crazy. Yes, no.
I think, you know, all entrepreneurs who achieve success are a little bit crazy, because we often look back and think, were we crazy to think that we could start something like this? So there's obviously many obstacles and adversities along the way. And at those low points, you think, shit, I must have been crazy to start this.
Share some with us, please.
You know, when I started out, I really started my company with no clients. I left my very, very comfortable, well-paid job where I had a team of people reporting to me. And I left that comfortable position to start my own agency with absolutely no clients and no staff and no startup capital. I just started from scratch.
Okay.
I had, you know, some capital to carry me for 3-4 months, but then I was a bird out of the nest and flying. And, you know, started knocking on doors. And it's tough because you don't have a track record at that point. So it's all about winning your first big client. And you've got to be extremely determined. You've got to decide in your mind that you want this and you will have this. And it's all about manifestation at the end of the day. And but, yeah, while a lot of people quit and give up along the way, you've got to stick it out. Be determined. If you believe in what you do and what you want to achieve, then you've got to stick with it. That's the only way you're going to achieve success.
You spoke about this runway that you gave yourself, which was 3 or 4 months. Did you get your first client within that 3 or 4 month window, or did you have to scrimp and save and maybe dig for change under the couch?
No, I did. Funny enough, after 3 months, I was completely independent and I had some good client retainers. And
great.
But, you know, as you grow, there are challenges. You start employing staff and, you know, you grow your team, you move offices, there are expenses, you know, new clients come on board. So there are always, you know, it's a tough journey growing, and you reach a point where you get to a glass ceiling. You've got to break through that. It's a very competitive game, and it's extremely challenging, but it's also very, very rewarding if that's your passion.
You spoke about perception earlier. How did you overcome this idea or the perception of being a startup, but then catering to these very large brands who may expect or may not, I mean, we don't know, and this is maybe why I'm asking the question, may expect you to be driving a certain kind of car or having certain kinds of offices. And isn't a reality, for many startup businesses, and shouldn't be. I mean, you shouldn't have these massive overheads. How did you bridge that divide between the perception and the reality?
Yeah, I think that's especially challenging in my industry, because people expect you to live in luxury and represent luxury. So they do expect all these things. So a little bit of advice, if that's what you're aiming for, fake it till you make it first few months. but it is important, you know, to show the right image to clients. They want to see that luxury, that success. They want to see it projected from you, because they buy into your story of success and what you represent. So it is very important.
So, I mean, it almost sounds like they bought into you instead of this idea again of a big car and big offices. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
It was you. It was your skill. It was maybe the way you carried yourself, a certain poise, the way you were communicating. Is this accurate?
Absolutely. You know, clients have to buy into your passion. That's not something you can fake. There's a lot of things you can fake, but you can't fake passion. You can't fake that, you know, desire and commitment to achieve excellence. That they're going to see through. And you may have a flash in the pan moment of fame, but you won't be able to sustain that. And so, you know, 9 years later, we are still, you know, a lot of those luxury brand clients are still with us. We've achieved great success, and it's all about creating something that's sustainable. And clients have to buy into, of course, what you have to offer, and they have to trust you with their brand.
Well, I hope you are all listening very carefully here, because Anina really has a wonderful story. We'll hopefully be able to share some of that on the Cliff Central website when we share the podcast as well. Let's bring Vivid Luxury to where it is today. You guys are doing some interesting stuff in the polo arena. Now, I mean, sometimes, you know, we sit at home and we watch, I don't know, a show like Top Billing, and we see these guys with these sticks and these horses, and it's all very, I don't even have the right words to describe it, but it's all very up there and very, very, it looks great. But there's more to an event like that than just this idea of running around, or at least the horses running around, hitting a ball, yes?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, just to create some context, the sport is 2,000 years old, and it really is considered worldwide the sport of kings. It's one of the fastest sports in the world. It's one of the most expensive sports to play, and it's a magnificent thing to watch if you start to get to know polo. So South Africa is a little bit slow to the uptake to the sport, but it's growing phenomenally, and we've had great response. So, you know, we kind of fell into polo by accident about 7 years ago, but it fits obviously very well with what we do within the luxury arena. And we launched 7 years ago the Verve Clicquot Masters Polo in Cape Town with our partners Val de Vie Events. And the event has been extremely successful, just grown from strength to strength. We have some of the most, you know, some of the top international luxury brands as partners. Mm. We have an international audience. We are on the international Verve Clicquot website. We're part of their international circuit.
Fantastic.
And we're quite proud of what we've done for Cape Town and South Africa in terms of putting polo on the map worldwide.
But then you're doing something up here as well for all of the for all of us who can't get down to Cape Town too often.
Yes, I mean, Cape Town's magnificent with the mountains in the background, mm-hmm. but you know, the Jersey people have really asked us now for a long time to bring that level of polo and that level of luxury and lifestyle to Johannesburg. It has been lacking. There's quite a few polo events here, but not quite like how we do it. Mm. So what we're creating is really a luxury lifestyle event that's all around, obviously, the polo, but it's bringing the best in class of all the luxury brand partners that we have on board to the fore, and creating experiences that are not only educational, but also entertaining for people attending the event. Mm. So if you don't really understand polo, there's lots of other interesting activities, you know, on the day. So the event that we've launched is the South Sea Johannesburg Polo Classic in association with Lamborghini and presented by Julius Baer.
Very nice.
And it's happening on the 8th of May.
Okay, very nice. Yeah, if you're into polo or want to be into polo, go get there on the 8th of May. But why we're introducing this idea of polo is because, as you've now mentioned, it's more than just an event, a sporting event. There's opportunities there. It's an experience that you can have. Just talk to us about some of the business opportunities that you have seen happen in that kind of forum and that kind of arena amongst your clients, or perhaps some others that you've brought along who've then interacted with your clients.
Well, it's amazing the platform that it's created, and you know, polo events have become the modern day boardroom, so to speak. So it's no longer happening on the golf course. It's happening next to the polo field. And we've seen, you know, Fortune 500 company CEOs and thought leaders, business leaders, ministers, and people from all over Africa attend our event. And they're using it basically as a platform to build relationships, to cross-pollinate, do deals. So it's about, you know, if you want to host some VIPs on the day, you invite your top clients, stakeholders within your network. And it really gives you an opportunity for 6 hours to entertain them, build relationships, cement that relationship, and you know, maybe broker a deal if you're lucky.
And I don't think there's any better brands to be next to than Lamborghini and some of these others that you've mentioned to be entertaining and then brokering deals at. I mean, you can sit in an office, or you can sit maybe under the shade, I hope, next to a polo field and a Lamborghini. Fantastic.
Absolutely. And remember, it's a lot of the CEOs and the top people in business that own these cars. So naturally, they're going to be there. So it really is a platform where all these amazing, powerful people come together and collaborate, cross-pollinate, and network.
Let's pull back and let's talk about the Vivid Luxury journey a little bit more. you had some failures, you've had some really, really good highs. You've had to employ people. I'm sure you've had to fire people. This is the Future CEO show. So we need to learn all we can from you, because you've been doing this for a long time and you really are one of the landmark PR and communication companies in this industry. Where shall we start? You've had to fire people, yes?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's been a few. I must say we've been quite lucky with our staff complement. We've had some amazing people join our team. But here and there, you know, you make maybe a hasty decision or a wrong decision.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it's just the fact of you need resources and you employ someone that you maybe not 100% convinced fits your company culture or is able to achieve the level of excellence that you stand for.
Mm.
And sometimes you compromise and in our game, you can't compromise. So unfortunately, there has been some of those. And it's been hard. You know, the level that we work on is, I always say to my staff, forget about Cape Town, forget about Joburg. We work on a New York standard. Mm. We are the best in class internationally. And, I won't compromise on that. So it has been hard sometimes finding the right team to, fit that vision. But I think, yeah, very fortunate with the team that we have. And they are amazing. They are passionate. They are ambitious. Good. So whilst they have their own ambitions, they're also working towards a common goal, which is really what you need.
So I heard you say it or at least hinted it. Would you say that sometimes some of the people that you've had to fire, it's your fault really? Because maybe, as you've said, there was a hasty decision. Maybe there wasn't quite the right fit, but you did it anyway. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a business owner, it's always your fault.
Mm.
You know, you've got no one but yourself to blame. Mm, you can blame everyone else as much as you want. At the end of the day, it's your responsibility. You know, you are the decision maker and you're what takes your company forward. So, of course, there are some mistakes along the way as well. But remember, those are learnings. You only do learn from mistakes. If you do everything right all the time, you're not going to learn. So sometimes one has to learn the hard way. That's the only way to have that life experience and know better.
What do they say in Silicon Valley? Fail and fail fast. Fail and fail fast.
Get over it and get up and
exactly,
carry on.
Exactly. One or two hints then. So you have this experience of perhaps hiring and firing. What are some of the questions that maybe you asked right in the beginning that have evolved into something more? What are those questions that really give you insight into a person's character or an ambition and the fit?
It's difficult to say, but I think, you know, what you need to find out is if that person really shares your common goal and your philosophy on business and client service. I think that's also very important because it's all about keeping the clients happy and showing a return on investment for them. So it's about really finding out what are their motivations. When they want to work for Vivid Luxury, what is their motivation? Do they just want to be on the red carpet and be part of the glamour? Or they really want to and they're committed to achieve success for their clients because that's really ultimately what we're in business to do.
In small businesses, sometimes along with this idea of ambition, people hit a glass ceiling quite quickly because the business is small and the relationships are strong. How do you deal with the frustration that comes along with that?
Yeah, that's extremely difficult. So, you know, you've got to decide where you want to take your company, where you see it in 5-10 years. If you want it to remain small, there's nothing wrong with that. There's a lot of value in that. And, you know, managing staff is complex, so it's not for everyone. But if you have a growth strategy, it's about finding just ways of breaking through that glass ceiling, getting the advice.
Mm.
You know, we don't know everything. So reach out to people that have achieved success. Reach out to potential mentors that can help you along the way and, find ways of breaking through the glass ceiling because we all have had to do that at some point.
Well, we're very grateful to have you here on the show mentoring and guiding us because you have achieved a level of success that many of our Future CEOs community are hoping to. Let's, again, you used the word mistake. What's the biggest mistake that you've made along this journey so far? The one biggest mistake that you've made?
Sometimes I've forgotten to really listen to my gut.
Okay.
And that for me was, you know, probably one of the biggest mistakes. But the only thing that I really trust, not the only thing, but the one thing that I really trust today is my own gut.
Okay.
So when you're not sure, when you're not sure about a decision that needs to be made, get quiet within yourself, listen to your gut, and follow that, because that's all you have.
All right, so it's interesting that you say that we must listen to your gut, and one of your biggest mistakes was not listening there. But sometimes we are biased. Sometimes we don't actually know all the facts in the situation, and if we listen to our gut, then we're wrong. What do you say to that?
Well, I say gather all the facts, ask advice as much as you can from people who have been where you were or have done something similar. Gather all the information and the advice that you can, and then, get quiet and armed with all that information.
Okay, once armed with it, then listen to your gut.
You can't just listen to your gut and have no context or background.
Sure.
But at the end of the day, you're the one that's going to make the decision, so you've got to live with yourself. So that's very important.
Yeah, you have to really own it, don't you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's the one mistake. The greatest high that you can share with us?
Gosh, that's a difficult one. There's been so many highs.
When did maybe, let me ask this question this way then. When did you know that you had made it? When did you... stop, maybe be quiet in yourself, look around at a room full of people and say, I've done it, I've got there.
It's probably a few years ago, maybe 3 years ago or so, when, people started, I'd say, credible publications started asking for my opinion on the luxury industry.
Okay.
And I realized that, hey, I've become a bit of a thought leader in this industry, and I can actually pat myself on the back. We're so hard on ourselves, we just want to push and push and push, and it's never good enough. But sometimes you got to turn around and pat yourself on the back and say, I've done good and I've done well. And when you start realizing that you know so many people in the industry and so many people know you, and people come to you and respect you, and you're being quoted in newspapers and magazines, that's a good feeling to know that you've become a bit of a thought leader in your area of expertise.
It really speaks to trust, doesn't it? I mean, people begin to trust you. They trust your brand. And I think of so many of these individuals nowadays who are trying through Twitter or social media or other means to put themselves on a particular platform, be perceived as something, but the substance is lacking. Have you seen it yourself? What's your experience there? And perhaps maybe some guidance to those who are falling into that trap, please.
Yeah, that's a difficult one. I mean, social media is a very useful tool. Mm. It's definitely important. But I've definitely seen some players that really go big on social media, and you know the background, and you know there's no substance. So it can be a double-edged sword. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's not sustainable. If you want your moment of fame on the internet, go for it. But at the end of the day, it's about what are you creating that's sustainable.
Mm.
There is, of course, how you project a certain image on social media and sharing your successes, and people need to know about that. But yeah, take it easy. Don't go crazy on social media.
If someone is sitting, and I saw this on TV the other night, if you're sitting there and you're repeating the same old rhetoric and you just sound like someone else, they're not going to call you back. They're not going to want your brand. Anita, unfortunately, we have run out of time with you today, which I'm certainly very disappointed in, because we're just getting into some of the good stuff here. Maybe as a parting thought, words of wisdom to our future CEOs community. Remember, some of these guys have just started their businesses. Some of them are 10, 15 years into a career, and they want to try and just break through that ceiling that we mentioned earlier. Words of wisdom, please.
A few things. I think, firstly, make sure that your business fills an important niche or gap in the market. Secondly, have a solid business plan. Know where you're going and what you want to achieve. And thirdly, never, ever, never, ever give up.
Mm. Winston Churchill, I think, said that. Never, ever, ever give up.
One last word. Anything is possible.
And anything is possible. Thank you. And the fact that you're here shows it, doesn't it? Because you came from a point where you had no clients to now 9 years later representing these big brands, Bentley, Jimmy Choo. Just drop one or two more again.
Veuve Clicquot, Belvedere Vodka, Gucci, Patek Philippe.
Fantastic, fantastic. Before we let you go, just tell us very quickly, how do we find out about the Celsi Polo event?
Yes, if you're a future CEO, you don't want to miss that, because that's going to be a very important networking platform with some of Joburg's most important power players and also Western East Africa. So we're excited about getting the rest of the continent to attend the event as well. You can go to our website for more info, www.celsijoburgpoloclassic.co.za. Make sure you've got your A game on.
Okay.
Look the part, have your A game on, and come prepared and know what you want to, who you want to meet and what you want to achieve.
Anina, thank you very much for your words of wisdom today and for being an example that we can all look up to. Okay, guys, that's Future CEOs this week. We're running out of time, so we're wrapping up on that note. See you same time, same place next week. And hopefully, Luby will be back with us in studio and off the slopes over there in Austria. See you then.
This is CliffCentral.com.